Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. This is NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
So to say he's building towards maybe possibly doing it again next year, Drew Brees will be out of that division. Of course, he'll run the division once Drew leaves, Tom Brady moves over. So I can't call it a failure. Now, if he wants to win a Super Bowl, that's the whole reason he made the decision, and he got to pick his team. We're measuring him against Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, he can't just go out and pick his team. He has to pick players, and he's held to these certain rules and bound by these certain situations. But Tom Brady got to pick his team.
That is the playmaker, Michael Irvin, I guess, kind of saying that Brady has the advantage in being a free agent as opposed to the coach. But, I mean, heck, I mean, if Belichick was a free agent coach, I think he could pick his team, too. So I don't, you know, really see the point in that. But anyways, this is NFL Sunday. Tagway and Wiggs here. 2:30 is when our football coverage starts, and the pregame shows will get you going as we get you set for Cleveland and Kansas City. And, of course, it's going to be Brady and Breeze in the battle of the old men. And that's the way it was when I was at NBC Sports Boston and with Tommy Kern. It was always a battle of the old men. Tom, good to talk to you, my friend. How do you feel about Brady right now and the fact that let me ask you a question, because Wiggs and I, we got this debate. I think Brady's already proven enough to me. I mean, from what I've seen him, if he loses today, it's no shame. How do you feel about that?
100%. You get a guy who uprooted, went to a different franchise that had 7 wins last year. Followed up a quarterback who had 30 touchdowns and 30 picks. This year they have 11 wins. He's through 40 touchdowns, runs for another 3, rejuvenates a team. They've won a playoff game. They're into a breath away from the NFC Championship. I mean, it is indisputable that the things that he was kicking rocks about following the 2017 season were exactly what he was trying to make a point about. It wasn't Tom Brady's declining skills. It wasn't related to his attitude or the time that he didn't spend in the offseason. It was related to the personnel around him. And this has been borne out as he goes to Tampa Bay with no offseason, no training camp, and rips it up.
See, Tom, the thing that I look at, he personally ripped it up statistically. And I felt like we all thought that Brady still could play. He just put the right pieces around them. But I just think the reason why I say this is one of his biggest games of his career is obviously because there's no Bill Belichick. And the expectation level that we had for this team was at least the NFC Championship. I had them going to a Super Bowl. So to lose in a divisional round against the Saints that already beat you twice this season and beat you pretty badly, I would say that this is a major fail if he can't get past them.
A major fail?
I think he's out of his mind, Tom. I mean,
I think you're cuckoo. The team went 11-5.
I mean, Kern and I never agree. We agree on this. Mm-hmm. Tom and I agree on this.
As the season went on, Wiggy, check this. Mm-hmm. As the season went on, it became obvious that the assimilation was slow. And he finally got it. He got to a point where they are where they are. Now, they're not losing if they lose to the Saints. They're not losing to, you know, Washington football team or the Rams or somebody else. They're losing to a really good team. I still think they're going to win today, but everybody has them as an underdog in this game, I would think. So if they lose today, it's not a major fail.
I think it is.
I think it's a disappointment. I have them winning the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. I said 13-3. Brady's the MVP. Bruce Arians is the coach of the year. And it's closer to that than a fail.
Well, when you think of the expectations were that. And I think that is a fail because of the talent and the way that
universal were those expectations?
I think nationally that was the expectations. And I think from the organization part, they brought in Antonio Brown, which Bruce Arians said there was no room on this team for him. Mm-hmm. They went after Gronk. They brought in Leonard Fournette. So their expectations weren't to just win a wild card game and then lose in the division round and go, okay, this was a successful season.
But I don't think any team says, hey, we're hoping to win, you know, hopefully we win our divisional round game. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, well, everything sucked. I mean, you just hope to put yourself in position. Brady has more than put them in position in the 2020 season, mm-hmm. to compete for a Super Bowl. Okay. And his presence has done that from a 7-9 team to a Super Bowl contender to a team that has been offensively prolific, defensively capable, more than capable. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to go round and round on that.
Yeah.
But to me, Gary, if you look at this team, this is really where Brady's what Brady had here isn't present there. He's not going to take the field today and say, well, at least I know that my defense isn't going to pee down its leg. And at least I know that we're going to have situational smartness. And at least I know guys aren't going to be jumping off sides left and right. That's not going to exist today. And that's going to make his performance, Wiggy.
Yep.
You're correct. It's going to make his performance 85% to 90% of the reason they win or lose. And that's not always the way it was in New England.
How do you see this playing out? Tommy Curran, by the way, joining us from Quick Slants and NBC Sports Boston, NBCSportsBoston.com. I have Brady winning today, too. Based on the way Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay played, man, going up to Green Bay and winning there, that is a tough nut to crack. Now, I know you originally said Brady to the bowl, and that's fine, and you're sticking with that. But
kind of fun.
It's fine. It's a prediction. Who cares? But, I mean, I would love to see Brady in the Super Bowl, but after the football I've seen, I mean, I just see Kansas City, Green Bay. I mean, I know as an asterisk next to your prediction, does that seem to be the way it's going now?
Yeah, it does. And here's what's interesting about today's game and the reason I like the Tom Brady's. They've lost both of those games and given up 38 and 34 points in the two of them. But in that second game where they got their absolute asses handed to them, they went 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out to start the game, and New Orleans answered with touchdowns. So all of a sudden it's 21-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then he threw a ridiculous pick. And I think it was 28-0. So that game wasn't even competitive in terms of giving a good representation of what the matchup is like. We both know that unless things go, it could go haywire for the Saints today. And they get the ones who have the drop put on them. Same way we saw with Cleveland and Pittsburgh last week. I think the second game was more of a victim of circumstance game. I think this is going to be an outstanding game. And Brady in the dome with those guys?
Mm-hmm.
I think they win. But you're right, Gary. I mean, Green Bay is at a level right now. They didn't have Aaron Donald at top speed, obviously. The Rams didn't. But I do think that Cleveland is going to push Kansas City today.
Whoa. Tell me about that. Talk about that. I'm sorry, Wiggy, but I...
No. I completely missed that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tom, you're the only one that said that. I'm interested why.
No, I think they have great momentum. They have an outstanding running game. They can control the clock. They have some brilliant defensive players really built around Myles Garrett. I think that they have the ability to hang with a Kansas City Chiefs team who, when you look at it, yeah, they're the best team in football, certainly. They're not blowing teams out, and that as we've seen over the years here in New England, that is not a prerequisite for having a great team. Everybody is up for you. But I really don't think the Cleveland should be easily dismissed in this game as being non-competitive. I think that they will be more than competitive with Kansas City today.
And going back to Brady real quick, the reason why I make those statements and I still stick by that this is the most important game of his career, because I think the national narrative after this game is either going to be he can either do it without Belichick or he can't, because that's the one thing that the common denominator that he's had through 9 Super Bowl appearances and all his playoff wins and his Super Bowl wins is that on that sideline there was Bill Belichick. And I think nationally that's why this game is so important for him is because if they lose, they're going to be, see, he couldn't do it without Belichick.
But here's the thing is, what's it? Because we can have that conversation. Yeah. Could Brady do it? Yeah. What is it? Because he's already done it, in my estimation.
See, his, I think he's already done it. I mean, you're right. We're not going to agree.
No.
I mean, I think he's already done it.
I think it is, when you're with that team, it is getting that team to the NFC Championship game.
Tommy,
you're going to move him again, aren't you, Wiggy? Next week, you're going to move him again.
Well,
I already said,
in my opinion, I've already said that I thought it would be a major fail if he didn't get this team to a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, all I know.
So you are going to move him again. He's going to win today, and you're still, it's going to be a major fail next week. You just said that. We're going to be back here next week. It's going to be Patriots. It's going to be Patriots.
For
it's going to be Brady against the Packers, and you're going to say, major fail today, don't you think, if he doesn't get there?
Tom, for me, but I think nationally, I think there'll be a lot of people that are happy with the NFC Championship game.
All right, listen, Tommy Kearns with us, NBCSportsBoston.com. $60 million. Give or take a couple of shekels there for the Patriots with the cap next year. My argument today, Tom, has been is it's really, really hard to get back on top in this league. And I know you can point to, like, Pittsburgh has been able to do it. Seattle, you know, they went from Hasselbeck and then they eventually found Russell Wilson. But then, you know, you look at the Rams, you look at Kansas City, you look at the Bills, how long it took them. So can you flip that $60 million into being a contender? Is it that easy? Because I don't think it is.
Your best example for the New England Patriots is the Baltimore Ravens. Steelers to some degree, but they didn't have to cycle through a quarterback.
Right.
They've had Roethlisberger. The Ravens were an 8-8 team. I think they might have gone 7-9. They missed the playoffs a handful of years. They had to reload. They changed their quarterback from Flacco to Jackson. But they never went into the 3-13 funk. And even when they were losing close games. The Patriots are never going to be a 2-14, 3-13 team.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to skin the cat a different way. And they are set up to do so, Gary, because of the money they have in the 60. And we don't even know if the 60 is the 60. Put an asterisk next to that. We don't know if it might be more, depending upon when they sit down and do the revenues. If Hightower doesn't come back, that's significant money saved. If Gilmore gets traded, that's they could be upwards of $90 million in cap space. So, all that said, they are in a position to drastically reinvent the team. And I, you know, from indications I've gotten, they're not going to sit there twiddling their thumbs saying, boy, what should we do? They are going to be in full-on attack. And I think that Bill's comments, Gary, this year, when he has lamented a couple of times the salary cap and the constraints that they've had, actually says, if he's going to say that, well, our hands were tied this year. The next part of that sentence after the dot, dot, dot is, next year we won't, and watch you cover your damn heads.
Well, I mean, so Cam Newton was a placeholder.
100%. I mean, if he worked out, it would have been great, but now everybody can see that that's not really something that you can do in 2021.
Well, I mean, he's going to will he change his ways? That's what Wiggy and I were talking about, is does Bill change his ways with the money?
And Tom, I think this, I think when we look at this team come, and I say, like, you know, June 1st when, you know, draft's over and free agency, you know, mainly is over, we're going to look at this team and go, this is a playoff caliber football team. And I think it, Bill Belichick is right. He went 7-9 with this team, and this team was – I know people will say, well, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were – up until week 14, they were still fighting and knocking on that door. And I think next year when you look at it, you'll be seeing June 1st, you'll go – wow, Bill has put a playoff contender back out on the field, and everybody will be excited about this football team.
This is one of the slowest offenses in professional football, if not the slowest. It has no tight ends to speak of, and that doesn't matter with who they drafted. It has no wide receivers to speak of, especially if Julian steps aside. So all you have to do to consider yourself to go from 7-9 to a playoff team is have a guy who can throw overhand under center and a couple of tight ends and wide receivers. It's not a huge jump for them to become competitive. To be 7-9 with the level of play that they trotted out there, level of player they trotted out there, is amazing. That's why the scheme and the special teams propped them up so significantly throughout this season. God bless them. Otherwise, you know, we could talk about, well, they might have been 9-7 if they got in against, yeah, you know what? They might have been 3-13 if they hadn't had Nick Folk, Gunnar Olszewski, and, you know, Matt Slater and Jake Bailey.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was watching the playoffs so far, and to me, like, I agree with you on the record. 7-9, 3-10, 3-13, whatever. But when I'm watching the playoffs, and this is why I asked the question about can they get back quickly with that $60 million, I think it illustrated to me just how far the Pats have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's just a huge – like, we could say, yeah, they could have snuck in. But, man, I mean, right now the Bills are the beast of the East. Miami's going to get better. Kansas, I mean, the league is loaded, and it ain't here, dude. You know what I mean?
It's like, where do you go when you have a gotta-have-it offensive play? The Bills are going to go to Allen. He can do it with his legs, or he can hit Stephon Diggs. Or maybe sometimes they'll hit, you know, Knox. The Patriots are going to James White and maybe handing off to Damian Harris. I mean, that gotta-have-it plays this year was Jacoby Myers. And God bless him. Absolutely no besmirching the performance, but you have to have someone a little bit more sudden who can make defenses sweat. Because can you imagine, Wiggy, the defensive coordinators after Jacoby Myers catches, you know, an 11-yarder on 3rd and 8? How can we let this guy beat us?
Right. So, right. He's a third. He's a number three or a number four.
Yeah.
You know, where
he's a good one.
He's a good. I don't want to say he's a situational player, but he's the guy that, hey, listen, the one and the two are getting doubled. The tight end, he's a guy that can make some plays for you. And now, defensively, you got to say, all right, we got to concern ourselves with these other guys. But if we're not careful and know where this Myers kid is, he'll make some plays that could ultimately affect the game.
How big do you think, comparatively, finding a game changer in the front seven is to finding a quote-unquote game changer as a receiver slash offensive weapon?
It's brutal.
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, to me, it's the skill guys. I think it's hard. I mean, it's the skill guys.
But when you look at these games, right, you look at the games that have been played over this past weekend, it was the ability for the Packers to make – Jared Goff uncomfortable in the pocket, getting to him with pass rushes. It was the guys
and Aaron Donald was hurt.
Yeah, Aaron Donald was hurt. But normally Aaron Donald in the Seattle game, it was about Aaron Donald and that defense. You look at the Baltimore game, right? It was about both of those defenses making plays. So, you know what, Tom, that's a great point.
Yeah, it's an offense league, man. I know, Wiggs. I get you. We love the big boys, but
it's not about the big boys, and I think that's what you're talking about, Tom. It's about the guys that can affect the game up front. You don't have one of those guys.
It's scheme versus exceptional play.
Right,
Patriots are going to scheme up pressure. But really, it's Chase Winovich. Look, Josh Uche is, the more I reflect on this team, Josh Uche is really a leverage point for how good this team can be. If Uche and Winovich together, a couple Michigan guys, can be pains in the ass in the pass rush in the front seven. And I think Uche might be even more intriguing than Winovich in that way. Because of his suddenness and this, you know, Winovich gets by on a lot of technique and movement and kind of outside the scheme. But Uche can do so many things. They need somebody who's going to make a left tackle or a defensive coordinator say, do not go to sleep because he will wreck a game. They don't have any game wreckers. Dont'a Hightower is the closest thing. When you look at that, Gary, and I know you love talking about the 03, 04 teams, how many game wreckers were there?
Totally loaded.
McGinnis, Seymour.
Yeah, loaded.
You know, eventually Wilfork, and he wasn't even yet a game. But they're
the linebackers. I mean, Vrabel was, you know, the linebackers were, they were like six deep at linebacker.
And you think about these games, and you look at it. Did Buffalo win because of Stephon Diggs last night? Did Green Bay win because of Devontae Adams, or was it because of the game wreckers on defense? You look at it, the New Orleans Saints, you got a guy like Cameron Jordan who the Patriots could have had it, you know, during the Chandler Jones era, but it's about those guys and how bad and how much they can affect football games. So when you ask that question, Tom, about the elite skill player and the elite game record on defense, I don't know. I mean, you might make you can make an argument for both, but with the Patriots, you got neither one right now.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, with the way this league is going, like, I mean, if I had to choose one, and I want to ask Tom this question before we have to let him go, if I had to choose one, I still go with the skill guy because I just think that's the way the league's going.
Yeah,
real
because
quick,
you're hamstrung everywhere. But look, check this: if Chandler Jones was a free agent for the Patriots now in 2021, and he was still heading that way, I wonder if Bill would push away from the table and say, "You know what? Let's give him the money because you need that guy."
Oh yeah,
go
ahead, yeah. Gary, no, so. I hear you. Mayo's going to interview with Philly, or they've asked for permission. Wiggy thinks he should go to Tennessee and be the head coach of the Volunteers first. I say Mayo's a head coach in 5 years if he sticks around. You?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a head coach anywhere in the NFL. He went Friday. Josh is probably interviewing right now. Mayo went and...
Did you talk to Mayo? Did you talk to Mayo on the record?
No, I didn't speak to anybody on the record. Okay. But, you know, I had it characterized pretty well, and he was with a host of people down there, and my understanding is that it went really well.
Do you think he needs, because my biggest thing with Mayo is I think he needs to be the defensive coordinator, you know, even if he doesn't have the title where people go, okay, he's called defenses, because it's going to be extremely difficult for him to go from inside linebacker coach to head coach without any defensive coordinator experience.
All right, can I piggyback
this,
basically,
too? Is that all on perception, though?
Yeah, but is he just the inside linebacker coach? Because I don't think he is.
He's not.
No, but it's a perception.
Right, so if you're saying he can't go from inside linebacker to head coach because of perception, that's one thing. But if you're saying he can't go from inside linebacker coach to head coach because he needs more seasoning, I do disagree with that because of the level of play that he engaged in.
No. I'm saying the perception of it.
Okay. Yeah.
The perception of a team going, okay. Can we truly hire a guy, right?
Yeah, he'd be a tough sell.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And so that's why I said the Tennessee Volunteers, because if he goes there for a couple of years, he instantly, you know, shows that he can run a team. You know, it becomes him. He's always going to be in the shadow of Stephen Belichick and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and I think that is something that, you know, Brian Flores was able to overcome. But anybody is going to sit down and say, so how does that operation work down there with running your defense? And whether it's Stephen Belichick someday sitting in front of somebody or whether it's Gerard Mayo, they're going to say, well, it's complicated. We all do it. Well, what does that mean?
And I think Belichick will give him a good recommendation. Tommy, thanks. We got to go.
All right, guys.
Hey. All right, see you. Tommy Later. Curran joins us, NBCSportsBoston.com, NBC Sports Boston, and also check him out on Quick Slants. Right here, it's Tangway and Wiggy. It is NFL Sunday. NFL Sunday is presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, your Boston Celtics are underway here. They're taking on the Knicks. They're down 15-7 in the first quarter.
Kemba's playing.
Huh?
Kemba Walker's playing.
That's right,
though.
Kemba Walker's in there. All right, Kemba's obviously holding them back because they trail. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. 15-7, 4:43 to go in the first quarter. Bruins are back at it tomorrow night against the Islanders after their overtime loss to the Devils. We know what's happening today. The Browns will take on Kansas City. Tommy Curran likes the Browns to give him a hard time.
Yeah.
Tom Brady and Breeze, they go at it in the late game. Saints and the Bucks in New Orleans. Coverage for both games begins at 2:30 right here on WEEI following this outstanding radio program, NFL Sunday. That is what's trending now at WEEI, WEEI.com.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith 48.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
All right, broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, this is NFL Sunday. Tangway and Wiggy here. Thanks, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, for coming on and joining us. 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to jump on board, 2:30, we're going to hand it over to coverage for this afternoon's games with Cleveland and Kansas City. And then, of course, we have the big game with Tampa and New Orleans, Brady versus Breeze. Again, 617-779-7937. Wiggy, who has a better chance to beat Kansas City in a Super Bowl? Because we all agree, right? This is Kansas City. They should defend. So is it going to be Green Bay? Is it going to be Tampa? Or is it New Orleans? Who has the best chance to beat Kansas City? I think it's Brady and Tampa, but I don't know if they'll necessarily get there. Because I don't know if they can go and win in Green Bay.
I would say... Man, I'd say all of those teams have a pretty good chance because when you think
you got to pick one, Wiggs. Don't ride the fence.
All right. I got to pick one. I'm going to go with Green Bay. Reason why, Green Bay can get to the quarterback. That's got to be the biggest deal. When
quarterback to get to, man.
No, I know that. But when you look at what makes Patrick Mahomes, when he plays against teams, what makes it difficult is pressure with your front four to be able to play coverage behind. And Green Bay's got a pretty good defensive line. They get the kid Gary. They got the kid Smith. They can get to...
Better than Tampa.
Yeah, I'd say yes. A little bit better than Tampa. They can get...
Cannot disagree.
They can get to the quarterback, right? And if you can do that, that's what gives Patrick Mahomes problem, because then you could play coverage behind, and you could play some things up and say, all right, our front four can cause a problem. And so when you look at the Green Bay Packers, that I think is where they have the advantage. And then I think all the quarterbacks are – I'm not really sure on Drew Brees, but I think Brady and Rodgers are good enough that they can go tit for tat with Patrick Mahomes and throwing the football. Green Bay can run the football good, which is another good thing.
Well, that's the big thing. They got a three-headed monster at running back. I think the key to beating Kansas City in a Super Bowl is the ability to run the football, because you have to control the offense and you have to keep Mahomes off the field. I appreciate your point about Green Bay's front four, front seven. Mm-hmm. I just think Mahomes right now, and I know at times during the year he hasn't been great. You know, I mean, they've been a little sloppy, if you will. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. I think they got the best offense in the league, and I think the only way to win is to keep the ball out of their hands. Which brings me to Brady. You know, Brady with those weapons and also with a running back and play action, which is what, I mean, Rodgers and play action is lethal. I think Brady's experience along with Gronk's experience mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, they could pull off the upset. And I think Brady might be in Andy Reid's head a little bit. But the problem is I don't think anybody's going to Green Bay and winning. You know what was great about the Green Bay game? Fans in the stands. Right?
Yeah, that was cool.
It was like you're outdoors, socially distanced. But, you know, you get fans in the stands. It was awesome. It felt like almost like a real football game. You get indoors in the Super Bowl, it's a difference, or wherever, in warm weather. Where the hell is it?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, there you go. Home field advantage, mm-hmm. Tom Brady. How about that? I forgot where it was. But you go to Green Bay, man. That's a tough place to win right now.
Yeah, but Brady, it's not as tough for Brady, who's played for the Patriots
Might be for Mike Evans and Godwin and the rest.
Right, but a quarterback, he played there for 20 years, where Drew Brees has always been a dome quarterback, and he's struggling. He's already struggled in the playoffs anyways, and then you have to play in Green Bay where potentially the weather could be horrible. So that's where Drew Brees is definitely at a disadvantage. And Brady, I don't think the elements will bother him as bad as
No, you're right. There's no question.
Right.
Yeah,
so
there's no question.
But it's,
yeah, I get that.
To me, it's about when you think about both Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, it's the ability to be able to get to them and make it uncomfortable for them back there. And that's why
Isn't it more difficult to make Mahomes uncomfortable?
Well, yeah. But I'm saying if you're looking at, all right, who's got a better chance of beating the
Green
Bay Packers are, you know, you're saying Tampa Bay and New Orleans. I would say, you know, you look at New Orleans' defensive, their front seven, their D line, right. They can get there and cause problems. So I think both of those teams match up pretty well against Green Bay. But Kansas City, you got to be able to run the football, and you got to make sure you put pressure on Patrick Mahomes.
All right, let's grab Frank. Frank has a thought on this, and we touched on this earlier. Frank Igloss, you're up on WEEI.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to say, you know, everybody that backs Brady the way they have, and I have nothing against Tom Brady, but even though he's no longer a Patriot, I don't root for him, but I don't wish nothing bad on him. But Tommy Curran saying what a great season they had. They won 11 games. They only beat two teams with a winning record. The Patriots did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, Frank. I mean, Ryan Hannibal also has an article up on WEEI.com talking about the last 2 years for Brady have not been great against winning teams. And it's been well documented, of course, during this season. But as Ryan writes, I think he has 18 touchdowns and 12 picks against teams over 500 the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
However, and Frank's right, it's a different team now, right? I mean, Tampa's a different team now than when they played New Orleans prior. They're a different team than at the beginning of the season. I mean, Brady, there was no chemistry with this team at the beginning of the season.
Right, but I think the thing that you got to look at when you kind of look at when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and even when you look at them last week against the Washington Redskins, they started off a little slow.
Right.
They tend to start off a little bit slow and then ultimately get it going. First couple of, you know, you look at their first couple of possessions and you're going, oh, wait a second here. You know, what's going on with Tampa Bay? What's going on with Tampa Bay? Yeah. And then things pick up. So that becomes a problem, especially today, when the last time you played the New Orleans Saints, you started slow and they started on fire.
Right. So they got to get off to a quick start.
Right. And that's what you start to see in some of these games, right? You start to see in the playoff games, right? When you start to see them, you start off a little bit slow. And if a team can get going, it's tough for you. It's a tough look. But it's going to be... Can Brady and this team get out of their mind that they got beat up the past two games by the New Orleans Saints?
Well, I mean, I think Brady can. We'll have to – the rest of the guys we don't know. Stephen Fallwiver has a question for Wiggy. Go ahead, Steve.
I have a question for Wiggy. When you predicted with me, very steely-eyed, that the Patriots would be a 5-7 win team back before they got the quarterback, weren't you by definition saying that, that it didn't matter about Belichick, that it was all about Brady? Because that's basically what it is, and I know it is, and Gary knows it is. But now you're saying he had to have Belichick on the sidelines, and if he doesn't win this game today, so all this pro-Belichick stuff doesn't jive with you predicting them going to 5-7 wins.
Well, I have them at 5-7 wins with the quarterback, with Stidham. I wasn't sold on Stidham.
Doesn't matter.
I was,
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it does matter with the quarterback, right? It a lot has to do with
Jermaine, I get that, man. But when you take Brady off the team and you drop him 7 wins, you're saying that the coach doesn't matter. It's more about the quarterback.
Well, the coach matters, but you still can't just take the quarterback off and then drop
7 wins. You dropped him 7 wins.
You can't just take.
Gary, you're going to have to pick up the ball on this one, man. He's not getting.
Thanks, Steve, for the phone call.
You're
I appreciate it.
Incongruous.
Steve.
But he's not making any sense in the fact that it's about the quarterback, but you also need a good coach. You look at these playoff games, the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. It's 4th-and-1. What do? They don't go for it. They punt the football 2 weeks ago.
Right.
In the playoff game, you look at the.
Well, I thought the Colts. I mean, Reich made some bad decisions because Reich cost them the game.
Right. You look at some of these things. You look at some of the things by the Tennessee Titans, for example, playing the Baltimore Ravens. Like you know, Lamar Jackson's going to beat you. You know the way they want to beat you is with his legs, and you allow him to have, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 runs over 25+ yards because of you not putting enough guys in a position to make sure and say, we're going to build a wall. Very similar to what the Buffalo Bills did last night. Like, that's about coaching. There's a lot of dumbass coaches in the league, and Bill Belichick is not one of those coaches. So, but if you don't have the quarterback, right, if you don't even have, and I think that Cam Newton struggled a lot this year, and you know, and you didn't have the personnel, and you had an offense that wasn't very good, I mean, come on now. It's going to be difficult for you to win football games.
617-779-7937. This is NFL Sunday here on WEEI, broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Coming up at 2:30 pregame, get you ready for both contests this afternoon with Cleveland. Tommy Curran thinks Cleveland's going to give Kansas City a run for their money, and I hope they do because I just want to see a good game. And then later on, it's Brady versus Breeze. We have both games for you right here on WEEI. Some people out there think that Brady would have a shot against Kansas City. That's coming up.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
NFL Sunday Tango hanging out with Wiggy. Wiggy and I will be back again tomorrow on the Greg Hill Show. And believe me, we'll be talking hoops. Celtics are taking on the Knicks right now. And Kemba is back. But we have a lot to talk about, Wiggs, with Harden. We haven't talked about that, you know, since his debut with Brooklyn. So we'll get into that tomorrow morning right here on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. At 2:30, pregame shows. We get you ready on Westwood One for the NFL playoffs, Browns and Kansas City. And then later on, Breeze versus Brady. Grabbing some calls at 779-7937. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're up on WEEI. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hey, guys.
What's up?
First-time caller.
Welcome.
You there?
Yep. We're here, kid. Let her rip.
Okay. I was going to challenge the guys on. They've been talking about Tampa Bay and Green Bay and so forth, and I think Green Bay is going to get there, but I think from a psychological standpoint, it's really hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls. I think everybody's looking down at Cleveland. I know they don't have the talent maybe on the field, but I think just the way they were playing last week, that was kind of a fluke game against Pittsburgh. But I think they have actually a really good chance of upsetting Kansas. I really do.
Yeah, no, Bill, I'm sorry, man. Thanks for the phone call. Please do it again. They got no shot. I mean, Cleveland, I don't think Cleveland's going to win today.
Yeah, I think Kansas City, I've always said this, I feel like Kansas City is the best team in the league. because a lot of these games come down to the quarterbacks, right? And a lot of these games that you see, it's the quarterbacks being able to put a drive together and make plays. And that's the thing that Patrick Mahomes has already proven, that he could do that. You know, we haven't seen that from Baker Mayfield yet, you know, especially you're talking about this deep into the playoffs. And that's going to be the question, you know, is can you put together a run? And Baker Mayfield, can he do that? We know Mahomes can do that. We know how much talent they got defensively there.
You know, Brady can do it.
You know,
Rodgers can do it.
Right. And so, you know, Josh Allen, the jury's still out on him a little bit, because even that game against Baltimore wasn't like something he did.
Yeah, I mean, the shine is off the apple, I think, with that Baltimore game, for me.
Yeah, it wasn't like something he did.
He wasn't great.
You know, and granted, I know it was windy and all that other stuff, but I think the matchup, obviously, is the New Orleans-Tampa Bay game, and I think Cleveland loses by 7 to 10 points.
Wow, that close.
I don't think it's that close. I think it's just one of them games. That's what the final score would be. I don't think it's going to be a 21-point blow. But I think when you watch this Kansas City game, they're going to have complete control of the game, and you're never going to go, all right, you know, Cleveland's got a chance. You know, it's like the Washington game, right? You look at that game against Washington-Tampa Bay, you said it yourself, you never really went, even though the game was close at point times, you were never like, all right, you know, Washington's going to win this game.
All right, 617-779-7937. Wiggy, I do think you make a good point that if Green Bay gets in the Super Bowl, if they pull off the upset against Kansas City, it's got to be they got to get to the quarterback, and maybe Green Bay's defense is more suited to do that than the other two. Scott in Portland, Maine, what's up? America's greatest city, Portland, Maine. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tangs. Hey, Wiggy, do me a favor. Push Tangs' mute button for a second. I needed to ask a football guy a list of questions, and then I want you to give me your overall assumption or opinion after. Of the three NFC remaining teams, who do you think has the best or hottest quarterback right now over the last three games?
I would say the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, who has the best wide receiver on those three teams right now, number one wide receiver?
Davante Adams.
Hands down. Who has the best running attack?
That'd be Green Bay.
Who has the best front four on the D-line?
I'd say Green Bay. I'm leaning towards New Orleans, but Green Bay's really good.
All right, so please help me understand this. Why is Tangs, unless he's trying to play the good cop, bad cop, think that Tampa Bay has a better shot against Kansas City than Green Bay?
Because of Brady.
You're a football guy.
Well, I mean, Brady, so that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, and Scott, thanks for the call. I don't think Tampa goes to Green Bay and wins.
No, but he's saying against Kansas City.
Right.
So let's say Tampa.
No, I know. And then so Tampa goes, I think, of the three, the best that has the chance to beat Kansas City. I mean, you mentioned the defensive, which is a good point. But I think it's Brady, I think it's his Gronk, and I think it's his experience in the Super Bowl, and I think he's the most clutch quarterback of all time. I mean, I could see Aaron Rodgers getting in the Super Bowl and pooping his pants. You? I mean, he's done it before.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely happen.
Okay, so Breeze, you mentioned, right? Okay, of the three quarterbacks, Rodgers, Brady, Breeze is number three. Right? Okay, fine.
Right.
You put Brady in a clutch situation against Kansas City and Andy Reid's head. The wise ass up there in Portland laughing at me.
Right.
I make a good point.
Well, I would agree with you that if you were to rank them, that the NFC quarterbacks, which one of them are you most comfortable with in clutch situations? Then I would say Brady 1.
Bingo.
Brady 1, Rodgers 2, Breeze 3.
So there. All right, Al and Everett. Al, you're up. WEEI.
What's up, guys?
What up?
What's going on, Al?
Wiggy, come on, Wiggy. Weren't you drafted by Bill Parcells, Wiggy?
I wasn't drafted by him, but I signed a free agent contract with him as a rookie, so yeah.
That's what it was. Right. So all people, you should know who the greatest coach of all time is. You should know, Wiggy. Come on, you know who it is. It ain't close. Cam Newton. Hey, Gary, so many Super Bowls Bill Parcells would have in the AFC East with Tom Brady in 20 years? At least, Gary, you've been right on it, buddy.
All right, Al, what's your point, buddy?
Here's the point. Cam Newton, Wiggy, Cam Newton won three games with his legs alone. If Stidham, I had them at four wins or three wins if Stidham or Hoyer starts. Cam Newton was good for three or four. They were winning four games with Stidham or Hoyer. Cam Newton won some games with his legs there, guys. That's the only reason they won seven games.
All right, Al, thanks for the call. Well, I don't care. Listen, I mean, whatever. They won seven games. I mean, fine. You want to say?
Well,
I mean,
think his point was that he's trying to say Parcells would have been, you know, I listen, I respect Bill Parcells. I thought, you know, my two best coaches in the NFL, Parcells and Belichick. So,
was he trying to say that Parcells is better than Belichick?
I think he is, yes.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. That's not the case. I mean, listen, Parcells, thanks for the phone call. Look, seven wins, three wins, whatever. Cam Newton legs, I don't care. The season stunk. Parcells' biggest problem was his own ego. His own ego. That was his biggest problem. The guy couldn't stick around. He'd wear out his welcome every time. To give Belichick credit, he implemented a system here in New England. It's lasted 20 years, and they won six Super Bowls. Parcells never would have been able to do that.
That's why I think this game is so important for Brady, because this game, if he's able to win this game, for a lot of people, I mean, you're in the camp that he's already, you know.
He's done it. Brady's won.
Right, you're in the camp.
He's
so there's a couple different camps, and I think there will be a lot of people that will go, look at Brady, who's able to take this team to the NFC Championship. That's why this game is so important for him. Then there's people like myself and Christian who go, well, you got to get to the Super Bowl with the talent. You know, that might even hold him to a higher standard than that. But if he wins this game, you know, there's a lot of people that say it was all about Brady, more so about Brady than it was Belichick.
2:30 coverage of the playoffs begins right here on WEEI. You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, Kaplansky.com. By Zudy, build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zudy.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Tagway in for the guys. See, I have to replace two people, Keefe and Fourier.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
That's tough to do.
That is extremely tough to do.
Wiggy's here, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. We're taking you up to NFL football. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got the pregame stuff, Westwood One. So we get the NFL playoffs with the Browns, taking out Kansas City, and then later on it's going to be Breeze and Brady, Bucks and Saints. So the coverage begins at 2:30 right here on Sports Radio WEEI, so stick with us throughout the day. Again, the number 617-779-7937. Grab some quick calls here. I got to talk to Dan in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. Danny, you're up on WEEI.
What's up, fellas? How are you?
What's up?
Sorry, I apologize. I'm outside. Real quick, can you picture Lamar Jackson getting 5 years and $35 million a year? He's almost due to be extended.
Yeah, I can't.
That's scary.
I mean, and I was, you know, I'm with you, dude. I mean, I was on Bill for not drafting him, and I've seen him play. This is before the concussion, and, you know, I think that I've made a mistake in the past, and thanks, Dan, for the phone call. But, I mean, I think that I've made the mistake of lumping Lamar Jackson into the, like, the elite quarterbacks or the young elite, and that's a mistake. He's not quite there. He's not.
No, he's that.
He's not right there. Maybe he's Tannehill. Maybe he's a different player than Tannehill, but maybe he's in Tannehill's arena.
Well, then if he's in that arena, he's going to get 30. He's going to get 28, 29.
Yeah, which is crazy. But yeah. that's the way the league is.
That's the way the market is. So, I think the thing for him is that, you know, if you don't scheme him right, one play he can go 40 yards and it's just like completely change the game. So I think he, you know, he's going to have that ability probably for the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. Because I think he's only like 22. So he's always going to, athletic ability. He has to become a better pocket passer. Teams will be a little bit more concerned about his passing ability, but he's going to be somewhere around $30 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, that's the type of money that he's going to command. Yeah. All right, let's go to George. Oh, by the way, and also the caller wanted to talk about Tampa and the fact that they only have 2 quality wins. We've discussed that. Ryan Hannibal's got a good article up on WEEI.com. Mm-hmm. My feeling, and Wiggy agrees, Tampa right now is peaking at the right time, and they're a different team. That's what I think. We'll see what happens. George in Salem. George, you're up on WEEI. Hello,
well,
George.
You know, you guys always talk about how great Brady used to be with the Patriots. You know what? If you don't have a good offense and defense, a quarterback ain't that good. Dan Marino was one of the best quarterbacks, and if he had a team, he would have won the championship. So what do you got to say about that?
Well, I got to say that, yes. I mean, Marino got the 1 Super Bowl. He never made it back, George. Thank you. He didn't have a great defense. But you mentioned Brady's weapons. To me, if you look at the 4 Super Bowls in 2014, 2016, 2017, 2018, mm-hmm. that's Brady. You know, when you go 2003, 2001 especially, 2003, 2004, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not – it's the system.
It's the system.
They were better teams.
It's the system, but it's Brady being clutch in those critical moments.
No question.
Right?
But he did more – he was more important – in the second part of the decade,
right? Because the team now was built more about what they did on offense versus what they needed to do defensively in the first part of the first dynasty.
Right. I mean, I took a look at, you know, just some of the, if you want to talk about weapons like that Brady had,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Brady's, Gronkowski really, to me, is the only... He had Moss. I shouldn't say this.
Okay.
Randy Moss, Rob Gronkowski, and Corey Dillon, mm-hmm. to me, were the only 3 true weapons that he had in his 20-year career. I mean, like, when we talk about Tyreek Hill, when we talk about Devontae Adams, when we talk about game changers, right?
Right.
Now, people will say Edelman. I feel, while I am a huge 11 fan, I've always felt Edelman benefited from Brady. I thought Brady made Jules. I don't think Jules has a career without Tom. Not the career he had.
Right, right. Well, you could say the same thing about Wes Welker.
Same deal.
Right.
I agree. But still, when people talk about weapons, like, look at the weapons that Brady has in Tampa. He didn't have that in 20 years here.
Yeah, except for the 07 with Moss. And, you know, he had that kind of with Gronk. I understand where you're coming from. He's never had, you know, at the wide receiver position besides the year with Gronk, I mean, with Moss, where he had, you know, a top 5 wide receiver in the league.
Right.
I understand that. But he's always had, I would say, besides the 06 season with Jabbar Gaffney and
Rishay Caldwell, Wide Eyes.
Yeah, Doug Gabriel. I would think besides that, he's always had, you know, solid and good talent around him. Right? They might never have been the top of the league, but they were always solid. He never had, like, bottom-of-the-league talent. He had a lot of players that if they were in other places, they would still be good players. Like, if Wes Welker was somewhere else, he'd still be a good player. If Julian Edelman was somewhere else, he'd still be a good player.
Not the player that they were here. I mean, Wes Welker was what, special teams in Miami?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he was kind of like
maybe. You know what they would be? They would be like Cole Beasley, right? That's what they would be.
Yeah,
because
okay.
it's about the quarterback. So right, they would be right. like, you know, it would be more about they. So they'd be more like, you know, you think of them more of like Cole Beasley type players. But because of Brady, you know, I understand what you're saying and I agree with that. But, you know, especially towards the end, Belichick was trying to put the weapons around him. He tried to draft the guy.
No, he did. Yeah.
He tried to draft the guy in the first round.
Yeah.
He brought in Antonio Brown. He traded for Mohamed Sanu. It's just those guys didn't work out.
They didn't work out. Do you look at the Antonio Brown thing, and this is in retrospect, which is what we do, as more of a desperate move now. Like, he didn't need to do that if he had done the job in the draft.
See, I would go more to the draft before the Antonio Brown thing, because I don't mind. I think the Antonio Brown thing was a good move. If you can get a guy like that who was arguably one of the top five receivers
in
the
league. But now he's in Tampa, and
he looks good.
But they don't need him.
Shoot, he's got. They listen.
Well, they have Evans. My point is, they have Evans. They have Godwin, and they got Gronk. And then, so it's not like everything's on him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
By the time he got to New England, when Brown was here in New England, that's pretty much all he had because the other guys weren't working out.
Right. That's true. See, the problem is when he was bringing in free agents at the receiver position.
Right.
It was more like Bog and Ben free agents.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Kenny Britt.
Oh, my God. Brutal.
Like that. That's what it was, rather than going, okay, let me go out and maybe get somebody that is a little bit more that's done more in the league. But he didn't do that. And that's where I kind of knock him a little, and that's where I knock him for that. So it was kind of like with Brady, you had him, but you never really gave him, like you said, those guys that you would look at and go, all right, this guy's a top 10 receiver in the league. It was just like, yeah, you know, Demaryius Thomas, whatever. And I think, Bill, that's where I think he makes his mistake. But I don't know, you know, I never know Bill's method to his madness. You know, and that's the thing,
right?
Is because think about this: when Brady was playing at the peak of his time, let's say, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, what did we always say? Why ain't Bill adding nobody on defense? Why ain't Bill doing nothing on defense? Why ain't Bill doing this defensively? Right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe, you know, and everybody said, oh, we don't need a wide receiver who stretches the field. I used to remember Felger beating the drum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They don't need a guy who stretches the field. They don't need a guy who stretches the field. And it would always be like, but they need help defensively. You're talking about like Sterling Moore's and Kyle Arrington's,
right,
and players like, you're like, all right, they need some help. And forget about pass rushes and front seven guys. It was like, why isn't Bill going down that road and getting guys like that? I think it was Julius Peppers was out there 1 year, and you're like, all right, he'd be a good fit. They can go for it.
Okay. You know, I take a look. We were talking about Mayo as being a head coaching candidate, right? Because he already interviewed with Philadelphia, as Tommy Curran told us, from NBCSportsBoston.com. So Mayo goes in the first round with the 10th pick.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ever imagine Bill Belichick using a top 10 pick for a wide receiver. I mean, he hasn't had to. He hasn't had that benefit. But like the one time, you know, they went with Mayo, which at the time was a good pick. But now I'm thinking to myself, if Bill Belichick has a top 10 pick, what? And obviously they need the quarterback. If they have the quarterback, Bill Belichick's picking a flipping guard or a tackle. He's picking his next left tackle, right? Or a linebacker. He always has this idea that you can get these receivers. I mean, like, it's Phil McConkey from the Giants.
Right.
You know, I can get these receivers in the second, third, and fourth round.
What was that?
Because he had the greatest quarterback of all time. You can't do it anymore.
What was the – who wrote the book about when
– Yeah, Julius Jones. It was Michael Holly.
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is in Atlanta. He's talking to Dimitroff.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Dimitroff, you can get – you don't have to draft him number two. That was in Michael Holly's book.
Right. It was like, yeah, well, you can get it. So the mindset is that they don't value
the playmaker,
the upper echelon receiver, and wasting a pick on a receiver.
Right. Now, is that because that's his way of thinking? Or is that Or is that because he had Brady? Now, he went with N'Keal Harry, which, according to reports, nobody else wanted but him. Okay.
But did other people want a different receiver?
Yeah, that's what, okay. I can't remember. There were two other guys that are actually having better seasons than N'Keal Harry. But this is always hindsight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people throw this stuff out in the media after the fact, you know. I mean, but N'Keal Harry's double move is like, he is so damn slow.
It's more about, I always look at the draft as like your positional need, right? And that's where you spend your positional need. Where do you need help positionally? So this year we know They need quarterback and wide receiver, and quarterback trumps the wide receiver position.
Right.
But if they had a quarterback, then you could go, okay, maybe we go either quarterback or we go tight end, depending on who's available. You know, the kid Kyle Pitts is supposed to be really good, the tight end from Florida. So then you go, okay. But if you have a tight end, then you go, all right, what's the next positionable need? Do we need a pass rusher? We need somebody who can get to the quarterback? And so that's the way I look at it. But Bill might look at it like it's more about building the O-line or building the D-line, so I'm grabbing the best offensive lineman who might be available.
I mean, look, when the draft comes around at 15, if Mac Jones is available and they don't take him.
Well, Mac Jones will be available.
I mean, then mutiny on the bounty. I mean, you got it. Like, come on, dude. And I understand what people will say about Jones is Alabama, and I hate this argument.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama doesn't generate great quarterbacks.
Yeah, but who generates great guys? Like, that's
I know it's a stupid argument. You know, I mean, so then the other one is, well, he's thrown a great receivers. Look, he's the thing about a Mac Jones. Okay, is Alabama is probably the closest thing you can get to a professional team in college. Correct. The way it's run,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about scheme. I'm just talking about Saban, the discipline, the pressure. I mean, my God, there is more pressure being the Alabama quarterback mm-hmm. than being the quarterback of the Cardinals.
Right.
Right? So, to me, you take him. Like, you take the best quarterback available at that spot. You don't even mess around with it. And you know what? If it doesn't work out and you got to go back to the drawing board again next season, then you go back to the drawing board and you do it again next season.
Well, but you wouldn't really be going next season. I hate the whole thing that... Forget about the school they come from. Like, what schools produce?
What is great, quarterback you anymore?
Right. What schools produce great quarterbacks? That's what I would ask those people. All right. What schools? Well, what is Texas Tech a school that produces great quarterback because Patrick Mahomes came from there? Right. Deshaun Watson went to Clemson. When has Clemson ever been known as this quarterback, you know, producing factory? So you got Deshaun Watson and now Trevor Lawrence. So I never really buy into that. Like, that to me is the dumbest thing, you know, the dumbest thing ever. Is
that's
that
like Penn State linebackers, right? I mean, it doesn't really happen anymore.
It's just like, you know what? Guess what? If you go to a school of that caliber, you know who gets to play with a lot of talent and some of the best talent in the country? Trevor Lawrence, because he goes to Clemson. Justin Fields, because he goes to Ohio State. Mac Jones, because he goes to Alabama. Those schools get the best talent.
Will Bill pick Mac Jones if he's there?
I don't know. It depends on, does he like Mac Jones?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, he's not telling us. But here's the thing, Wiggy. Here's my question is, you mentioned the other guys, all right? You know, like Chance. I mean, Mac Jones will probably be the quarterback that's available, right? Out of the group.
I'm guessing, looking
at mock drafts.
I guess if you're looking, you're going by some mock drafts, then the four quarterbacks off the board we know are Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance.
Right. So they're gone.
So let's say they're gone. So now
you got Jones.
You got either Mac Jones or Kyle Trask from Florida.
You go with Jones. Right?
I mean
Trask, they see you can get in the second round. Trask could chuck the ball. But, I mean, and that's the problem, is if I hear from the New England Patriots that at 15, well, all the top quarterbacks were gone, when you had the quarterback room you had last year,
mm-hmm.
and you don't draft Mac Jones, that's insane to me. Because right now, as we've seen in the NFL, and we're going to see it this afternoon, if you take a look at all of these games, right, what is the common theme of all four games? Their quarterbacks can play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. Their quarterbacks can play. So that's what he has to do.
Well, it's forget about who the guy is. It's more about what is your number one choice at that with that pick
on that board. Yeah.
If it is quarterback,
it's gotta be.
If it is quarterback, then let me rephrase that. What is your number one priority with the offseason? And if it is the quarterback position, I don't care how you get that guy, it's all about you going after that guy. So
right.
That means if you're trading for a Matthew Stafford, a Deshaun Watson, Derek Carr, just throwing some names out there, Matt Ryan, then that's what you do. If you say, okay, we're not going the way of the trade route, we're going with one of these kids from the
right.
draft, then that's what you do. So my thing to Bill Belichick is, what is the priority for the quarterback position? Are we trying to figure out we're getting a guy by one of two ways? It's either you're trading for a guy or you're using that first overall pick that you have to get a guy. And if you do that, then guess what? I'm happy with that. But if you
even if he fails.
Even if he fails.
Well, because, you know what? Because there's no guarantees. That's right. The thing. And that's going to be the big the big problem for the fans is that it's real hard to get back. And I know that some teams have done it. They've been able to, you know, Seattle, we talked about. Pittsburgh has always been hanging around with Roethlisberger. But if he picks Mac Jones and it's a bomb, I'm not going to fault Bill.
No, I don't have a problem.
I'm not
going to
fault
that.
Bill. I mean, you know, if he goes out and he gives a ton of dough or he makes a deal for Matthew Stafford and it doesn't work out, that I will blame him for.
But I wouldn't blame – why would you blame him for that?
Because I think he's a stat puppy, and I just don't think he's a winner. And I would rather take a chance on a draft pick and build something for the future. I would. We had the argument before, again, up on WEEI.com about would you trade for Sam Darnold, established, or would you draft a guy? I'd rather draft a guy.
All right. So you have better options that you would like. But if they went and got a Stafford, wouldn't that satisfy you with the quarterback position?
I guess. I mean, it would satisfy that. Who's he going to throw to? Then I don't think he's a winner.
But it doesn't. If you go out and get Trey Lance, if you go out and get Trevor Lawrence, if you don't add pieces around them, isn't it still
right? But I would rather have somebody young that you can build and get pieces around than bringing in Stafford and having him stink because he can't throw to anybody.
Oh, but what if you went out and you got like an Allen Robinson, David Njoku, who's a free agent tight end?
Okay, yeah, you're talking about using that $60 million. Yeah,
right, yeah, that's what I mean. So, yeah. So, but all of this, all
do you like Stafford?
No. But what I'm saying, Gary, is all of this, and for me, is predicated on Bill using that money to get pieces to put on this team.
Right.
And then you going, okay, here's what we're going to do at quarterback. Or if we get the quarterback, we're saying whoever we get a quarterback, we are then going to add pieces around you. So if it's Stafford, if it's the kid you draft 15 overall, if it's, you know, Deshaun Watson, whoever it is, we're adding pieces. So to me, it's all predicated on that. And then when I look at this football team and they've added all those pieces and they have that quarterback, now I go, okay, Bill has done everything that I expected him to do. And now it's about whether or not they can gel on the field and everything. But the questions of who's going to be the quarterback will all be answered, right? If you went out and got Stafford and all these other pieces, wouldn't you be fine with that?
I'd be okay, but I'm being unreasonable. I am not a Stafford guy. We got to get ready here because we got the games coming up. All right, final thoughts here.
Okay.
Cleveland and Kansas City. I Tommy Curran, great insight, thinks Cleveland could give them a run for their money. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe for a little bit, but second half, Kansas City blows them out. You?
Yeah, I'm with Kansas City.
Okay, all right. So, and then the big game, I'm going with Brady. I like Brady in this game. I know that he hasn't played. I know the team hasn't played well overall, and I know the New Orleans spanked him a couple of times. I think it's a different time. I'm going with Tom over Breeze. Your thoughts on that?
I'm going Saints. I think the Saints, they got two.
So what's the issue there?
I think the Saints kind of have their number, and they've rent space, and the Bucs head, and the Bucs team is in a position where they've never been in this before. Now, I know Brady has.
Well, Gronk has.
All right, well, I'll give you Gronk, but the rest of those guys haven't been there. Defensively, offensively, those coaches haven't been there. So they're going to be, you know, we like to say this in the NFL. I don't know if you ever heard this before.
I have. Geez, when I played Wigs, I missed this.
I don't know if they were talking about this when you played before.
Yeah, when I played, yeah.
But the brighter the lights, you hearing me?
I'm hearing you.
You hearing me?
I preach,
Wigs. You hearing me? The brighter the lights, the tighter the booty hole gets.
I've never heard that one. Nope, I can't say that. No, I've never heard that one.
The brighter the lights.
I thought it would rhyme.
No.
You got to make it rhyme.
Does it have to rhyme?
Why, the brighter the lights,
the tighter the booty holes get.
Yeah, I guess.
That's what it is. We're not rapping here. We don't have to make
okay,
everything
rhyme. No, okay,
all right,
I'm sorry, but you seem to be, you know.
It's like when you're preaching, right?
You were preaching. Okay, the brighter the lights.
Right.
Yes.
So the brighter.
Reverend Wiggs.
Yes, that the tighter the booty holes get. You understand?
I understand.
And so when you're in a situation like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where most of those guys on that roster haven't been in this position before, and the lights are extremely bright, knowing that this is it. Next week, we're in the NFC Championship game, and we're looking around here, and it's like, whoa.
All right, Wiggs, we'll see what happens. All right, listen, NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance. We've been broadcasting from our Best Yet studios here on NFL Sunday. Wiggs, we're back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Yes.
We're going to talk about James Harden and the Celtics. We're going to get into that. Of course, we'll be talking about the Brady-Saints game, Bucks and Saints along with Drew Brees. You heard Wiggs' prediction. Want to say a special thanks to Josh Toronto. I didn't know this was his last day. Bridget Prue, who's been on the other side of the glass helping us out, said Josh was a teacher. He's an educator.
Oh, wow.
He's doing something important in life as opposed to us. Josh, you're a good man. Thank you for your help.
You want me to rhyme it for you? The brighter the lights, the booty holes get tight.
Now we're talking, okay. Wiggs. Bridget, great job. Thank you. Stand by. We got an afternoon of football coming your way right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Four letters that are synonymous with Boston sports. WEEI.
WEEI.
WEEI Radio.
WEEI.
I love EEI, man.
This is WEEI.